Welcome to the Kerma Church Podcast.
What better book to study than Acts? The Acts of the Holy Spirit as the early church is born. So find your Bibles. We're in Acts 13. And why don't you stand? We're going to read. We're going to read from Acts 13 and we're going to start at verse 4. So we talked about last week, Saul and Barney being sent out. Here they're off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, or so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at him intently and said, "O full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." Oh, yes. This is how it's done, all right? "And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, and he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." Amen. Take a seat. Do you remember Yorkie? You remember Yorkie chocolate? It used to be for men, yeah. Right? Because it was chunky, but then they were worried that they would offend women, and so they dropped that tagline. And the truth is that the guy on the Yorkie bar was always this massive hairy guy. And I don't know any woman that wants to be massive and hairy. Okay? So I don't know quite where the offense would have come. But there was this fear of offense, fear of offending people. The church has become so watered down that it offends no one. Okay? However, the church should offend everyone. Because the message of the gospel, the message of the church is repent. You've sinned, turn around, turn towards God and give your life to Jesus Christ. And you see, if you're not offended, you can't change. Because when we get offended, it causes something where we have to make a decision. And so there is a decision for God or not for God. So Barnabas and Saul set off on the first mission trip. But by the end of these few verses, Saul will be Paul and Paul will be the leader. Because the boldness of the Holy Spirit will come upon Paul. That enthusiasm that he experienced as a young Christian will now become a holy boldness accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to say to you this morning, and maybe if you don't get anything else, it matters how you get saved. Okay, your salvation propels you into your new life. If Jesus is worth following, he's worth following the whole way. You know, one of the privileges we get is just leading people to Jesus at the front here. I love watching people get saved. I love watching the conviction of the Holy Spirit get a hold of them, and then their passion for God arising, and then, you know, they slowly starting to tell their friends and bring them. And I love, you know, when they're coming up with their friends, you know, this is one I've been telling. It's just the most amazing thing to see. Well, what we have here is that Paul and Barnabas arrive in Paphos and they meet a false prophet called Bar-Jesus, who's also called Elymas, who he represents the proconsul, who is the Roman governor of Cyprus. So he's the authority, or second in authority, actually, because the council is. So, and what I want you to know is Satan loves the hallways of power. He loves to keep people of power from hearing the message of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when people of power hear the message of Jesus Christ, they can influence many. This is why we're told in 1 Timothy 2 that we should pray for people in power. You're not meant to criticize people in power. We're meant to pray for them that Jesus would save their lives. So we pray for the council. We pray for the government. We pray for anybody in power that they would have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are called to remove the obstacles that prevent people in power, or in fact, any person, hearing the gospel. See, God raises people of influence. Some of you are going to be people of influence. So we are both opposed, but we are also assisted. Okay, so in our lives, in our daily lives, there is opposition that everyone's going to come against, but there is also assistance that's going to come as God releases it. So you might be experiencing opposition right now in your daily life, in your family, in work, whatever it is. So we are both opposed and assisted, but God wants you to overcome the opposition so that people of influence can hear the good news of Jesus. So your opposition is there for a reason, and he wants you to overcome it. And I love this story because it's important we understand what's happening and that it's real life with real people joining up all the dots of the Bible. Barnabas and Saul are invited to speak with the proconsul about Jesus. This is an honor. This could be Barney's first time speaking to a Roman official. This is his moment to be famous. And you know, whenever we do conferences or before church, we have a prayer meeting. And I bet in the prayer meeting, Barney has Saul and John Mark, and they're gathering around. This is a real honor. We're just going to tread carefully. We're going to wait for the presence of the Lord. We're going to show the love of Jesus. Let's try not to offend anyone. And let's ask for a Jesus rally. Okay, and so they pray, and in they go, and Barney starts talking, and I think Barney starting to share about the Lord, but Saul is staring at Elymas, and he's just staring at him. That's what the Bible says. His gaze was on him, and Barney can see him out the corner of his eye because Saul's face is starting to go red. Okay, and as he's staring, Saul is getting agitated. Why? Because Elymas is distracting from the message of the gospel. And suddenly, the plan is put aside, and Paul literally explodes. And he says, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud," and he's pointing, I'm not pointing at anyone in particular, okay, "you're the son of the devil. The enemy of everything that's right, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" You know, at this point, Barney is distraughted, you know, because can't come down. But Saul just keeps going. And he says, "And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you're going to be blind, and you're not going to see the sun for a time." Do you not think Paul, as he was standing there, and looking at Elymas, seeing the situation with the proconsul, recognized something of himself? Do you not think he remembered what he had been saved from? How he persecuted the church and didn't want people to hear the message? And how the glory had come into his life, thrown to the floor, blind. But now, by the mercy of Jesus, healed and preaching this gospel. I want you to understand something. It matters how you get saved. Never lose your first love. Ephesus, the church Ephesus, loses his first love. And Jesus tells them to repent and do the first works, the things they did at first. Come back to what you did at first. You see, it matters how you get saved. That's why we call people forward. Make a statement. Choose to stand for Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow Jesus, he's worth following the whole way. And so this mist falls on him and he's blind. And it's and Luke, who wrote Acts, says the proconsul believes. The literal translation here is shaken to the core. And it says he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. What teaching? They haven't said anything. Barney hasn't even had a chance yet. What they've done is demonstrated the power of God. And that's why later, Paul is going to write to the Corinthians, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but the power of God. That's where we put our faith. And I've got three things to really quickly do, and I can do it. The message of Jesus is always opposed. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the church establishment or you're in the world. And here we get an insight in this story of how the devil works. He steals, kills, and destroys. He's an enemy of everything that is right, and he perverts the straight ways, the ways of the Lord. You know, I remember when I came to Jesus and I gave my life to him, and I made a decision that I was going to give everything to Jesus. I didn't come from a Christian background. I didn't have Christian parents. And I said, Lord Jesus, I am going to follow you. And he filled me with his Holy Spirit. Anyway, you know, a few years later, I get my first job, and I was a service engineer. They sent me out to fix things. And I got to travel all around the country. And as I started traveling around the country, you know, in those days, we didn't have, you know, electronics, phones and stuff. We just had paper and we had to fill out timesheets. And so I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 a.m. And I would drive to wherever I was driving, arrived at 9 a.m., put my mileage in, how many miles I did. Then I was on site for an hour and a half, fixing the problem, did that. And then I would drive home or to the next job. And some of the people I worked with started getting really mad at me. And some of the other engineers took me aside and said, Steve, you're doing this all wrong. That's not how you fill out a timesheet. You add half an hour here, half an hour there, you add some extra miles, you'll make more money. Okay? And I went, but that's not what I'm doing. My book says that work unto the Lord. Whatever work I do is unto Jesus. He's my boss. So if I put fake miles on, I'm ripping Jesus off. I'm more scared of Jesus than anyone else. Because he is the lover of my soul. So anyway, I would do this, and a number of the engineers refused to work with me. They said, we're not working with that guy. So my boss calls me in. And he says, Steve, you know, you might need to relax a little bit on some of the mileage. This is my boss. And I'm going, I can't do that. I'm not going to lie. And anyway, number of years later, I ended up being the service manager. I was their boss. And that company helped finance my first church plant. Because they believed in me, and they said, and then they said, just work when you want to. We trust you. And so they paid for me to work and do church. I tell you, stand for Jesus. You're a teacher, and you see a child being bullied by maybe another teacher. So you stand up for the child while trying to honor the other teacher. And it feels like everybody hates you because you're stuck in the middle and you're trying to protect a child and you're trying to go, you know, you're with another teacher. Proverbs 31 says this, speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. But I promise you, years later, you may meet that child who's now a minister of the gospel, thriving in life or whatever. I've heard this story so many times. How about you're a student in a lecture? And we hear the constant nonsense. Well, we have evolved into this. And you just go, excuse me, what? Well, I'm not sure I believe that we evolved. I believe we were created. I don't believe I'm an accident. I believe a loving God has created my life and has a purpose for me. And people start sniggering around you and laughing. Do you not think they laughed at Noah until the flood came? I had a phone call a number of years ago. It was from a medical student. And he phoned me and said, does your church, he said something like, does your church explain God? And I said, yeah, sure. Yeah. We talk about Jesus. And he said, and I said, if you don't mind me asking, could I ask why you're asking this question? And he said, I'm literally studying the heart at the moment, the human heart. And he says, as I look at the human heart, this cannot be an accident. This has not evolved. This has been created. And I want to know about the person who created it. So he said, could I come? And so him and his girlfriend then, she was kidneys, if I remember rightly. She's studying kidneys, sorry. I never know the right medical. Anyway, so they would both drive, and they would drive quite a few hours to get to our like new life course. And they ended up giving their lives to Jesus, getting baptized. I got to marry them. And then they moved up to Nottingham. This was when we were in Southend. Then they moved to Nottingham and they were registrars at Nottingham. So then they came here for a while and now they're consultants. They've gone to Canada there. But someone had to say that this is not a mistake. This is not an accident. There is a loving God who made you. And you are wonderfully made and created. He has not made a mistake with you. And he has a purpose for your life. And when they hear it, everything turns around. Right, I need to move, quick. Don't know why I'm saying quick, it's me. There's always someone who needs to hear the message. Look, whenever there is opposition in the room, there will be someone wanting to hear. You see, God is about to do something amazing. Don't be intimidated by opposition. Matthew Henry, he's a Bible commentator, says this, those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not fit for the kingdom of God. Those who are not prepared to face opposition and to endure hardship are not fitted for the work of ministry. Look, I said earlier that the proconsul believes because of he says, what is this teaching? Okay, what teaching? There was no teaching. You see, there was a demonstration of power. That the message of the gospel is not a philosophy. It's not a load of teaching you have to understand. The message of the gospel is you. It's each of us. We are the message of the gospel. Jesus said, go and be my witnesses. And it's the work he's done in our lives, and we carry the Holy Spirit. So wherever we go, we are the message. So you cannot overcome opposition by words. You need the power of God. Now, I haven't struck anyone blind yet. But I've often prayed some of Nehemiah's prayers. You know, turn their insults upon their head, Lord. When I was some of your age, we were in our 20s, we were doing outreach on the streets of Merseyside, and we had this coffee bar, and we had hundreds of kids come in. And I tell lots of stories, but this one particular, there was this one kid, and he was just obnoxious. And he was anti, and he was in pain, and he was like, you know, we'd be preaching the gospel, and he'd go, don't believe what they say, they're talking rubbish, you know, and he was just a distraction. And on this one night, and he'd been doing it a number of nights, and on this one night, I raised my hand to pray for him. And power literally came. It was like, and he flew backwards. He hit a double doors that were locked. They shattered as he hit them, and he was on his like bum, like looking. And I remember, you know, oh yeah, I did. I was as shocked as anyone else. It's true. But then I went, you know, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And he's just like this. You cannot oppose opposition by words. You need the power of God. Okay? And so the proconsul believes, and when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. You see, they've demonstrated what Jesus does. We see the same with Jesus. Mark opens his gospel with Jesus casting a demon out of the man at the temple. And this is what they say. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region. You see, before Jesus even teaches, he's demonstrating the power. Why does Mark open his gospel with this story? Because it was John Mark who's traveling with Barnabas and Saul. And it's John Mark who sees the ministry of Jesus passed on to Barnabas and Saul. And he understands that this opposition can only be overcome by the Spirit of God. And Mark, who writes Mark's gospel, wants the church to know for all time that it's not by human might or power that men are saved, but by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. That's why we're going after his presence. You know, the last book of the Bible is a warning to the church to stay in the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Revelation is about. Church, stay in the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, because God is your deliverer. He is the one who leads his army and his church and his people. Last thing, and then we're done. Saul becomes Paul. In the next verse, verse 13, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and Pamphylia. I want you to notice something. It's always up to this point been Barnabas and Saul. Now it's just changed. It's now Paul and Barnabas forevermore in Acts. Now Saul becomes Paul. He takes his Roman name and the gospel goes to the Gentiles. There is now a change in what is about to happen. And more than that, Luke, who wrote Acts, intends us to view that Sergius Paulus as the first totally Gentile convert. He, as far as we know, he has no connections with Judaism. He has no religious background. And Paul's direct approach to the Gentiles is the most stunning evangelistic crusade the earth has ever seen. And that's why Luke records it so accurately. You see, the gospel without the demonstration of the power of God is no gospel. Because of the boldness of Paul and the call on his life, he now becomes the leader. Now, what I want you to see is Barnabas is not demoted. We see everything in levels. Barney gets a grade A. Why? Because the command of Jesus is go make disciples. And Barney has just made a disciple of Jesus, possibly, you know, one of the most, it's almost like a carbon copy of Jesus. That gets you an A grade. Now, not everyone is Paul. But everyone can be Barney. And so when the student becomes a master, it is not that the teacher has failed. They, in the kingdom of God, they get an A. You see, my ceiling is going to be your platform. If Jesus says you will do greater works than me and not be undermined or in any way diminished, how much more can we release one another into all Jesus has for them? What am I saying? It's time for the power of God to return to his church. That's why the hundreds of thousands are gathering around the world. The Lord is returning to his church. Don't fear opposition. Instead, look for the person who's watching and listening. So as you come against opposition, don't worry about the opposer so much. Look around. Who is watching? Who is listening, looking for the delivering power of Jesus? And then we overcome, not by words, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. When opposition comes, the enemy will try to make you feel foolish. You might feel unimportant. But here's the thing. We are the message. You are the message. We carry the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And when he comes upon us, we rise to whatever he says. I started with Yorkie. I'd like to finish with Yorkie. Yorkie used to be for men. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for men and women who will put their hand to the plow and not look back, who will face opposition, who will endure hardship and finish the race. And for those, there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, will give to all those who loved his presence. That's you and me.
Thanks for listening to the Kerama Church podcast. If you enjoyed this message, you can like and subscribe. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Kerama Church. For more information about us, including our ministries, events, worship, and how to donate, visit our website at kerama.church.